Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality. How important are your relationships with other people in your life? And do you have a relationship in your life that really seems to be a trouble spot, a hard spot, that thing that holds you back? And if it were better, if it could be cleared up, what would that mean to the rest of your life? So often these really tough relationships are almost unexplainable. Both people don't really know exactly why there's a problem. They've made up a story about it. You have your story, they have theirs, but they don't jive with each other. And there's an impasse that happens where neither person can seem to hear the other person's point of view. Well, Bill McKenna and I would say that likely both of those perspectives are 1,000% wrong. That what you believe happened probably didn't, or at least not in the way you think. So our question for today is, what is getting in the way? Could it be shame? Could it be guilt? Could it be apathy? Could it be grief? Could it be fear? Could it be desire? Could it be anger? Could it be pride? Or could it even be courage that are stopping both of you dead in your tracks? And could it be that if one of you, one person in the relationship, were to change or collapse the pattern of any of these emotions, could it be that the problem between you would vanish as though it never existed? Is that possible, Bill McKenna?
Well, you know, we see that every day, but the miracle of it all, the amazing thing is that it seems impossible. Here's the thing, is the key point here is that person is so screwed up, there's no way that this thing can get better. There's no way that my life can be any different than what it is. Or I really want it and think it is, but it just keeps repeating. It's like, you know, there's a lot of people who have been married many times. You know, that they get a divorce, they meet somebody else, they get a divorce, you know, or it's you're younger in life and maybe it's girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever. And you just kind of go through, you know, that monkey bar going from one to the next, whatever it might be. Or it could be jobs. You know, I go to all these jobs and I'm just not appreciated. The bosses are just mean. And anyway, all these different things, kinds of relationships.
Well, let's kick this off right, Bill. You have a story right out the gate about how shame and clearing shame out of a person's life changed a relationship, don't you?
Oh my gosh. This is so amazing. There was this one person who never really associated a shameful event from their childhood. They could not literally talk to the other sex. You know, they wanted relationship with the opposite sex, but they couldn't bring themselves to it. Had an absolute terrible relationship with their mother, and also their sisters. And what ended up happening is really two things. At a very young age, one of the very earliest memories of a incident with his father, where it produced a lot of shame for him. Who knows if it's even correct? But he had gotten really kind of a shameful feeling about himself. And because of that shame, his entire life was based upon it. Couldn't go out to parties. You couldn't go out to parties. Get this. Couldn't go out to parties or meeting women would be like very, you know, conflicted. You know, I want to, but I can't. And because of that, could not have relationships. Well, anyway, the entire thing got revealed in a cognitive movement session, you know, like, why do I have all of these problems with women and I can't even approach them? And I can't go out and have fun. I can't even go out isolated in his house. That's how much shame, you know, shame will isolate you. And that's really how he lived his life. He was ashamed and in his house alone.
Can I ask a question about this though? Was this person aware that it was shame? And that the subject was shame, and that was the emotion that was running in his nervous system, and that it was about his father. And did he consciously make that connection about his dad, or did this come up because of the nature of cognitive movement and really searching through the nervous system?
It came up because of cognitive movement. All he knew was his life experience. As it presented as anxiety. I have anxiety. I have anxiety. Well, guess what? When we ended up working, okay, feel the anxiety and do the cognitive movement session. Now, the cognitive movement session, for those people who have never heard of this before, basically you're given access with these exercises to different parts of your brain. Your eyes are connected directly to your brain, and so is your spinal cord. And through very specific movements, the truth gets revealed to you. And this is neurological, biological. It's not mystical or anything. It's neuroscience. And there's a lot of that in, you can see on the website under research from the National Institutes of Health. But the beautiful thing was, the realization of aha, this was the seed or the genesis of this experience of all of his anxiety and all the issues. And with that connection, that access to that part of the brain, and then other parts of the brain, all new perspectives emerged. And the beautiful thing, I mean, this is just, you know, it's such a joy to see this flowering. Unlimited dates now.
Amazing.
Totally, you know, like, yes, you know, and healthy relationships, but even better, without even trying, calling his mother, going out to lunch. Hey, do you got time to go out to lunch? I want to see you. Oh my God. You know, it's like, what? You can imagine being on the other side of it. I'm, you know, constantly fighting with your mother. And now it's like, I want to see my mother. I love my mother.
You know, it's like reality shifted, and it did. It does. With the level of shame, we're talking about chronic humiliation. You know, that thing for a young man who's going out and wanting to meet people, but feeling desperately humiliated in their body, the sensation of humiliation, right? It's so heavy. It's so all-consuming that the life view is misery. You're miserable in this one aspect of your life and maybe many others. That's the weird thing, that it manifested for him in relationship, but probably a lot of other areas as well. And it keeps a person very, very isolated, that shame does. And the thing I want to point out to everyone listening is his perspective of himself was obviously not true. Not really. He obviously is attractive enough, good enough. Girls like him.
Oh, yeah. Zero problem.
But the minute before his body let go of the pattern of shame in his cognitive movement session, it was true that no one would date him. It was true that he couldn't get up the energy to go do it. The minute after, it's like the world opens to you. And what it is that the whole perspective of life, your life view, is changed. And more than that, you just don't feel that way anymore. So now you have the energy and the wherewithal and the coolness, you know, to go out and be suave with the ladies.
Yeah.
Or it didn't exist. So it really, for a person like him, it has to feel like a miracle. Does it? Is that what he says?
Oh, yes. It feels like an alternate reality that he couldn't even imagine. It's like an impossible. Like, that's not for me. That's impossible. I'm wanting it, but it's impossible.
Yeah. And you think about, maybe from the perspective of his mom, you know, you hear about these things where a person has an absolute terrible relationship with the mother. And from the person's perspective, the mother's awful. But from the mother's perspective, you might hear, I have no idea what this conflict is about. And they really don't. I had a mom in my office recently that the child kept saying, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. And the mom's like, but I really didn't. I don't know what they're talking about. Well, it turns out that there was a moment in time, something that happened in the family where the child was very young and there was an incident that they witnessed that they were too young to understand and couldn't get that out of their body, couldn't get that anger to the mother out of their body. Turns out the child was just too young to understand what was going on, and it wasn't the mother's fault at all. But these patterns run in our systems, and they convolute what we think reality is. So imagine for this mom to be able to have her son back, to be able to have a relationship. It really is miraculous.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You know, and that's one of the wonderful things about this, that there's an effect on relationships beyond whatever you're working on. You know, you think you're working on just this shame, but it ends up affecting your relationship with a family member or the opposite sex, or in a ripple out, you know, so many different things. It doesn't, your life's
money, career, right? But money, career, your body, your health, your fitness, all of those things, your purpose in life, your mission in life, can emerge. So if you are hearing this and you're recognizing yourself in what we're talking about, and you are interested in, even at the base level, getting shame out of your relationships, Bill and I are leading a 5-day full immersion event in San Diego, California, September 8th through 12th. It is called the CognoConscious event. It's our big event of the year. And what we're doing is we're actually clearing out of your nervous system, not out of your mind, shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, pride, and getting to the point of neutrality, but moving all the way up the scale into willingness, acceptance, reason, love. Love or above, sound familiar? Joy, peace, and even enlightenment. We help you and guide you to get to where your nervous system will actually let you experience that particular emotion. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll hear from our good sponsors at the UK Health Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to talk about how guilt and apathy might be shaping your relationships.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we are back and we're talking about how your emotions and hidden ones can be shaping relationships. What about guilt or apathy, Bill McKenna? What kind of an effect did these have on relationships?
Guilt is such an interesting one around relationships. And there's a secret key to knowing if you have guilt or if somebody else close to you in relationship has guilt. And that is that guilt and blame are bed partners. Guilt and blame. So the secret way to find out is, do I find myself blaming a lot? Am I blaming? Or another way to look at this, do people apologize to you a lot? Do you find people like, oh, baby, I meant to, that's not what I meant, baby, you know, or whatever. People are, you know, are running on eggshells around you and you're blaming for this or that or the other thing. The key here is when we start blaming, obviously everybody's been on the opposite side of blame, and it's like, it's certainly not going to bring you closer in relationship. But the key here for us, the magical key, is when we have processed that thing in us, that hidden guilt, all of a sudden the blame starts to evaporate. The positionality of victimization starts to collapse. And we start to not only have compassion for the other person, see the other person's plight, but in addition to that, we are in a position where we don't feel bad about that thing that happened. So this is really, if you were to pick something, you know, and you're listening to this right now, do I have a hidden guilt from my lifetime? You know, sometimes it's, you know, maybe we stole the candy bar when we were, a little kid, but it could even be, you know, I had one person that got attacked and they never told anybody that they got attacked, and they held guilt around it.
Yeah.
For some reason, which it doesn't make any logical sense, but it is the way that the brain and the nervous system interpreted it as my fault somehow.
You know, let's talk about that for a second, because this is such a giant truth that most people don't know. That why a body holds on to guilt, shame, apathy, grief, fear, why it tends to be it turns into a driver and runs your life really has everything to do with the atmosphere in the moment. Why the nervous system gets attached to a singular thing. So it could be a decision you made right before. It could be that you had a head injury during the event. So this is something I find with women who are attacked. Often there is a minor or major head injury involved in the attack. And even though they might have counseling and work their way through logically, their body will not let it go. And they find themselves feeling guilty that it was their fault or something like that. A minor head injury after an event like that could cause it. But that's even bigger than what's possible. If, let's say, you're a kid and you're in school and you spit a spit wad at them and knock them in the head with it. Bill McKenna, I know you've probably done this. And that kid then gets in trouble. And then there's guilt. Oh my God, I did that. Now they're in trouble. Now I feel guilty, right? And then, you know, this cycle of sort of destruction, more trouble happens, you know, you're condemning people around you, that kind of thing. But why that singular moment when it seems so small? Well, maybe the body was hungry at that time. Maybe your mom and dad were in a fight before you came to school that day. Maybe the girl you liked next to you stuck her tongue out at you, right? Maybe the room smelled bad. Maybe your underwear were too tight. So you get my drift here. It's not that the moment in time does have so much weight. It's that the nervous system deems it so because of everything else that's going on around the incident. A lot of people ask, like, well, I had this horrible thing, this huge, terrible thing, life thing happened to me, and I don't really worry about it that much. But this one moment in time where I hit Billy in the head with a spit wad and he got in trouble, that haunts me. Well, this is why. It's the nervous system gathering up everything in its own environment and making a call. This is life or death right now. Too many inputs. So this can be one of the reasons that the body hangs on, and one of the reasons that what we do is so successful, because we're not talking to the logical mind about this, right? We're addressing the sensation in the body that creates the driver for the mind to believe what it does. Once that's collapsed, because it was never true in the first place, everything changes. So with guilt, you're blaming people, you wreak a path of destruction in your life, and you're condemning everyone. You've got 39 people who are evil in your life. And then imagine what changes when that is no longer true.
It is an amazing transformation that happens. And you'll find that it not only collapses within personal relationships, but can you imagine it starting to collapse geopolitically?
Right.
Where you're like, it's not affecting you the way it was. It doesn't mean you lose discernment or trying to do the right thing in whatever respect, but it's all of a sudden starts to fade away. And that's kind of the lived experience, having, you know, been through this and, you know, doing the work of cognitive movement, is you're not trying. What I mean is that you simply feel the blame if that's what's available to you, or you feel the guilt and you do the exercises, and without trying, all of a sudden it's like it just doesn't exist anymore. It's just absent. And here's the thing about this is it affects more than just your relationships. As we talked last week, guilt will affect your finances. You will have boom bust cycles or just bust cycles if you have guilt, because guilt, it is creating a need to be punished. And who's the person that's going to punish? You. You're going to find that inappropriate relationship, and you're going to act on it. And that's going to help feed the guilt, and you're going to crash and burn. So it's for your overall health to process this. You know, if you get one thing out of today, you know, that would be a really good one.
Yeah, and I think if people could understand that it really creates a driver, it creates your why in life, right? Why do I keep getting that same relationship again and again? Why can't I seem to get along with people at work? You know, why can I not seem to find a group of friends? That's a big one for people. And there doesn't seem to be an answer. You go round and round and round and round talking about it. But what it really is this sensation in your body that creates an electric fence in your life, right? Literally an electric fence. You step over it, the body gets active, and for some reason you just cannot take the next step that you maybe need to take, or that's logical, or that all your friends are telling you, right? Let's move up one to apathy. And apathy doesn't seem like it is, you know, better, but on what we use is called David Hawkins scale, power versus force, apathy actually does have more energy than shame. Shame is the heaviest energy that that there is calculated out there. It actually draws down your available energy. If you look at it that way, it just gobbles your resources. But apathy, this is a real hidden one. It's that feeling of despair and hopeless. And for most people, the sensation is a kind of a flat. They don't move forward. They don't move back. They don't do anything. It's like that level of paralyzation. So everybody listening out there, is there an area in your life or relationship where you are paralyzed? You cannot seem to do anything about what's going on. It's like you have no control over it no matter what you do. That's the level of apathy, that real hopeless. There's no point. This one's hard because sometimes it masks itself as indifference. I don't care. I just don't care. I don't care anymore. I just don't care at all. And the body will actually suppress the emotion. And so this is where you'll see people say, I don't feel anything about this. I don't feel. Right? But think about it, everyone. This is physics. If you have a balloon and you push it underwater, when you let that go, it is going to fly out of the water with equal and opposite force. When our logical mind suppresses our sensation, our feeling, the same things happen. Only let's say you've done it for 20 years. Think about the amount of force in the body it takes the energy to hold that emotion down.
It really does, right? And if it was to be released, mm-hmm. you know, what might happen? That is a really, really good point.
Yeah.
To your point, Liz, I really never thought of it this way, but you just stimulated a new thought. I wrote about it, you know, and everybody knows. I perceived as growing up, you know, my father's an alcoholic and, you know, had some mental illnesses and stuff. And I like to call it the traditional Irish upbringing, you know, beatings and what have you. But my experience was anger and resentment and also, you know, suppressing everything. And at the point in time when, you know, I went through a period of forgiving, it unleashed a force, physical force inside me that I wasn't prepared for. I was like not prepared for that. But it was like the balloon that you're talking about. Holy cow. Holy cow, never in my life, you know, and it created, you know, basically that life and this life, you know, kind of like it transformed things. So it's no joke, the amount of energy that we take to push down and suppress our true nature, you know, our true nature, you know, not to be all religious about this or anything like that, but, you know, where it's said that, you know, we're made in image and likeness of the Creator, and the Creator is love. And as we suppress that love, which resentment, that's very much suppressing, blaming, that's suppressing. And so you can imagine the release. It's like, holy cow, you're trying to hold back the nature of the universe.
Yeah. You're trying to hold back source.
You think you're strong enough to push down. And, you know, you can, but you will cause disease, you know, with that suppression.
Yeah. You're trying to hold back the source energy of the universe. You're trying to suppress it, not understanding that it is your superpower, right? It's diverted in this holding down emotions and feelings and all of that. And like we've said before, that are probably likely not even real. They're not true, but certainly they do feel real. All right, let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
And we are back. We are talking about how your suppressed emotions, your expressed emotions, become a driver and create your relationships, good, bad, or ugly, right, wrong, good, bad. It creates what they are. So if you're a person out there who tends to have trouble in the area of relationship, not just one-on-one personal, you know, your spouse or your loved one, but work, school, friends, everything, your relationship to the rest of the world, depends on what your nervous system believes that it is. And that belief may be shaped by all sorts of things that you're unaware of. And grief is a big one. Grief is huge, right, Bill? That many of us carry and don't know. So regret, tragedies in our life that have happened that we witnessed, that we may not even realize we witnessed. And it creates some, that this despondency.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think everybody can relate to this. The regret, some people, you know, remain single for longer in their lives than other people. And, or maybe even not that, maybe you only had that one person, you know, your first relationship or whatever, but that regret, how many times have we seen somebody who is married, but they really, their brain and their heart and their thoughts were regret of another relationship, which was, oh, the one that got away, the whatever, you know, somewhere back in time, and this big regret, which ends up taking their interest, their mental interest, their interest in being romantic with their current partner or whatever, yes. But it really can blow the hell up everything.
I have two big stories about this. One is a woman who, just brilliant, just a brilliant woman. I mean, just a dynamo. But she had this thing that her college boyfriend that she was in love with, her first big love, was the one that got away. And it so happened that the college boyfriend had some substance abuse. He had some stuff going on in his life. And he was taken from her, probably to go get help, right? And she was blamed a little bit in her mind for this situation. So they were 18, you know, freshmen in college. Now, you fast forward, it has been almost 30 years. And her relationship with her current husband is not great. Nice man, loving, kind, all the good things. But in her mind, this moment in time is where it's at. And that person is the one, you know, the one. And so she's grieving all these years. So during a singular cognitive movement session, all of a sudden she was brought up to date. So she was living, her nervous system was living in freshman college year, right? Now the rest of her life had moved on. She was a mom and a wife and a business owner, an amazing human, but her consciousness was right there at that 18 years old. Well, interestingly enough, all of a sudden she realized, as a nearly 50-year-old woman, she was still in love with an 18-year-old boy. And she started laughing like and crying and realized that her nervous system wanted this wonderful, romantic, imaginary moment in time. And that it was not real. It wasn't real today. It was likely never real. Yes, they loved each other, but he had a lot of problems. She was in rescue mode. And all these years later, she thought she could still rescue. It changed everything. Her world transformed in that instant. And that's how fast it can happen. My second story about grief is a mom and a son who are just at odds. And the husband had died. The father had died tragically. And there was this whole scene about, you know, the door being knocked on and police coming and the announcement that this boy's dad had died. Now the mom, this was her eldest son, and he was her everything. He was her angel. They had such a close relationship. They loved each other so much. She had this beautiful image of him and his smiling angelic face and the moments. And then a second image of the face of a preteen who had lost his dad. And that second image, it was so powerful that from that moment on, they were in constant conflict, constant conflict. So during the session, we were able to bring the mom back to that image of his angelic face, who he really is. Not this wounded person who'd lost their dad, but that inside that human was still this beautiful angel that she loved so much. And it shifted in that moment how she saw him. She didn't realize she'd been holding him in this place of tragedy, that he became the face of tragedy, right? For her and for himself. And so once she released him from that position, and this is not logical, guys. This is in her body, she released the grief that was attached to that image in that moment. And you can imagine what it looked like. Her whole body lit up. Her whole face lit up. The idea of spending time with him and talking to him and letting him know that all these years later, he's still her angel. He's still this amazing human that she played a part in bringing on the planet. It was incredible, just incredible to watch. But what she didn't know is that the grief she was holding around the loss of her husband and all of that was attached to this physical image of her son in that moment. It had gotten seared into her nervous system. So what I want everybody to understand is that these moments in time carry such power, and yet they're not as real as we think they are. Yes, that terrible moment happened, but no, it had nothing to do with really the sun in that moment, but her body thought it did. So releasing it changed just everything. So let's move on just a little bit. I want to jump the line here because there's fear and desire and anger, but we're going to run out of time to talk about it. Let's jump to anger, Bill, because we have some huge stories about people who are carrying anger, hate, aggression, antagonism in their body for a person that they believed in their life had harmed them, and that it changed in the session at CognoConscious. That in that moment, everything changed and the relationship changed. And there's one I'm thinking of in particular where it was a woman who had had a really bad childhood and who really saw her mom, that her mom was at fault for all the abuse. Do you remember this story?
There's so many. Why don't you tell this one? Because I want you to make sure we're on the same page here. Go ahead.
It's a big one because this happens every CognoConscious. We get to the anger point and the person will say, and it's a different person every year, I was wronged so badly. This person hurt me so badly that how could you possibly ask me to let go of the anger? Well, in the first place, we're not asking anybody to let go of anything. In fact, our answer always is you hold on to that. You keep it and do the session. You hate them as much as you do. You be as angry as you want to be at them. And let's do the session. Not asking to let go of anything. That's the key here, right?
Right.
We go through not around, not above, not below, right down the middle.
Yeah.
So this was a really intense session. And I happened to be the one to get to work with this person individually. She needed a little extra help. And at the event, this is what happens. We have practitioners there who jump in and help. Bill and I will jump in and help. And so this one, I happened to be helping. And this person got to rage through the session, all the horrific things this person had done, the mother. And then about 5 minutes in, the realization that she was a victim too. A victim. So it all sort of collapsed. The whole story, the whole house of cards sort of collapsed. And then the person goes back to their desk, picks up the phone, and hears a message from that same mother about how much they love this person and how good they are and how proud they are of them. And never before had they received a message like that. Now, this happens every cognitive conscious. It happens every time. But what happened next was the weird part. The event ends. The person goes home. They need a ride. You know, the ferry that they're taking is not working. They need a ride. And who do they think to call? The mother. Never would have thought in their life to call them before. Of course, I'll take you. Let's go have dinner. And they do. And then we hear weeks later that they're traveling together as a group and having a great time. And then they're visiting a family member that they hadn't seen in 20 years as a group, where 5 minutes before that session, that would have been so far out of the realm of possibility that the person that this happened to would have said, no way, it cannot happen. It's impossible. So, and again, that story, we could repeat it 1,000 times with all kinds of other people.
With all kinds of different outcomes. Yeah. Not only did that anger in this particular case basically unravel that estranged relationship, but other ones, it ends up affecting their finances. Like,
yeah,
all of a sudden, that anger towards their mother or brother or sister or who, fill in the blank, not only does that get healed, but all of a sudden there's a financial healing, yeah, like crazy financial healing. Like, there's, I think we talked about it on the last episode, it was like, you know, tens of millions of dollars healing, you know. Yes. It's been, so it's kind of, it is, but here's the thing. You said something at the beginning, which I want to just reemphasize. What could be easier? What could be easier than allowing yourself to be honest about my feeling?
Yeah.
They suck. I got hurt. They suck. There's absolutely no way on this God's green earth that I will ever forgive them, because I'm not going to let them hurt me or anybody else ever again. And the buck stops here. They are fill in the blank with all the expletives, allowing yourself to fully feel that,
mm-hmm,
and then doing the work and seeing where does this go? Where does it go? But just letting yourself fully feel it. Yeah, they suck. Yes, they are all those things. Absolutely, it wasn't fair. You know, I'm not going to let them do it again. All of those things.
Well, you know what's different about our work, Bill, is that we actually address the how. How, what is the process that your body uses to feel this way? What are the neural patterns? What are the eye movements? What are the physical sensations that allow your body to feel this way, to think this way, to have this perspective, and then take action based on all of those things? This is what people don't understand, that the how your body does this is the neurological pattern or loop, and it creates how you take in information. So how the world looks, it paints the world with the colors that particular neural pattern has in within them. And then it also paints the way and makes the decision for how you act, what you do next. It creates a driver, right? So at this event and in cognitive movement in general, this is what we're doing. We're letting your body see itself. How does it do this particular thing? How does it create this particular feeling and the drivers around it? And then we ask the body to feel that way as much as it does. There is no spiritualizing, right? There's no sitting in meditation about it. There's no positive thinking around it. There is literally feel the way you do. And then let's show the body another neurological pattern. It's an offering to the body. What about here? Have you used this part of the brain to think about this? Has your kinesthetic body taken a look? Has your logical mind taken a look? Has your ideas and inspiration part of your brain looked at this? How about your left hemisphere? How about your right hemisphere? How about the field behind your body? How about the field around your body? All of these things are taken into account. And for this reason, we hear people say all the time, well, I thought I worked on this. I didn't think there was anything left. I've read the books. I've attended the seminars. I've sat in meditation. How is this still a driver in my life? Well, it's because you've never shown the body its own neurological pattern. The how has never been addressed. So we want to take this last minute to invite you. If you're hearing yourself in anything that Bill and I are talking about, or you're recognizing that you have not had the opportunity to go directly into the emotion you're feeling, let your body see it fully, and giving your body another opportunity for the source energy that flows through you to be redirected in a way that makes your life exactly what you want, to allow for the full force of that energy to be utilized for you to become who you came to the planet to be, then we'd like to invite you. We would love to see you in San Diego, California, September 8th through 12th at the CognoConscious event. And the reason I say the is this is once a year. If you know that now is the time for your life to get on track, back on track, meet us there. Bill and I will be there. We'll work with you in person. We'll see you in person. And you'll be around like-minded people like you've never seen in your life. The people who attend this event are the most incredible humans. All right, you guys, we've run out of time. So until next time, be safe and be well.